Well, I'm going to try something new this morning. We're back online and using the chat here. So I want to even start my message with a question. Here it is. And get your fingers ready. You're going to need to answer right away. I don't want you to filter here too much. When I say this following word, what comes to mind? Here's the word. Evangelism. Okay? Start typing. Evangelism. When I say the word evangelism, what comes to mind? There's about a 20, 30 second delay here. So I'm going to have to wait till messages start coming in. And if they don't, you might have to hear the Jeopardy theme song or something. Maybe that's what I'll do. Do, 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 do. Oh, they. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, good news. That's a good one. It's a good one. Talk to people, yeah? We have to do that. What's some more? Share. Share. Spread. Share. Lots of good things coming. And this good news, this idea of good news, talking to people, living light, reaching out. You're doing well. This is great. This is great. Scary. There it is. I think if we're honest, a lot of times that's what we feel. Being messengers, reaching out, preaching to people who don't know Christ, freedom. Could go on and on and on. And those are all great answers, and we're going to touch on a number of them today. What's interesting, and I was pretty sure this, pressure, yeah, that's a good one. Fear. One word that didn't come out, and I'm not surprised, is the word the Psalms. Think of evangelism, you don't think of the Psalms. Some of you might have right away thought of Jesus' words when he ascended into heaven, go and tell the world, the Great Commission. And we think often of evangelism as this thing we're supposed to do, yes, share the good news, words like pressure and fear and all those things came, that we have this thing we're supposed to do because at the end of his life, Jesus put a little postscript, kind of a P.S. Now do it. And we miss the fact that this good news, evangel, do you know what it means? Euangel. Good angel is message. Angelos, messenger, good news. We get the privilege of living and sharing some good news. And the good news is that God is on a rescue mission. And it's so much more than the postscript to what Jesus did. The rescue mission is what Jesus did. And we'll see that today, that it runs throughout the whole Bible. I remember a missions class way long ago in the dark ages when I was in Bible school. And we were asked to kind of put together a biblical framework and philosophy of mission. And most of us wanted to start at Matthew 28, going to all the world. And the challenge was start in Genesis. And right away in Genesis, you see a good God making a good world and saying to the good people that he created, manage this good world and follow me and live in me, and you will know life as I intended it, flourishing. And then Genesis 3, we said, God, I think I know better how to do this. And the world became a mess because we started doing our own thing. And when it comes to God's rescue mission, it starts right there in Genesis 3. Genesis 3:15, God is addressing that snake, that serpent who tempted Adam and Eve. Evil comes into the world. And that's why the world's in a mess. We've all followed the lies that we know better than God does. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed you are above all livestock and wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. Verse 14, then 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. Okay, and it's already this battle that God is going to bring through humanity, the offspring of a woman. It's Jesus. He will crush your head. He will destroy you, even though you strike his heel. What a story. Already, the third chapter of the Bible, right after humanity has blown it and turned their back on God, God says, I'm putting a rescue plan in effect. Genesis 12, we hear this verse a lot. How does he do it? He raises up a people. He says to Abram, who will be the father of Israel, I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. See, it was always God's intention that through his people, the nations of the world would see what it's like to follow the true God and all that God had. But for the most part, the history of the nation of Israel was, rather than sharing the truth of God, they hoarded it. Didn't have that heart that saw the world as God did, but it comes through in places. When we hear the word evangelism, good news, some of the Psalms highlight it. We're in a series right now looking at the Psalms, how they call us to see beyond what eyes see. And sometimes the Psalms do what was asked of in Genesis 12, where they help us see the blessing of God to us and how he wants to extend that blessing to the world. And we're going to see that today in Psalm 96. It says this, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. All the earth, all the nations, do you see that? And then the key here in the middle of these three verses, proclaim his salvation. That word proclaim, it's interesting. I am far from a Hebrew scholar, but those that study these things, Warren Wiersbe, some of you have read a lot of his stuff, he said that when the Greek translate the Old Testament, they take that word proclaim and they use the same word in the New Testament that we have for preaching the good news. The word in English we get evangelize. Evangelize with the salvation. Again, evangelize. You, good, Evangelion. Tell the good news of what? Salvation. Proclaim his salvation. And if you were here, even the last couple weeks, we talked about that word salvation. That in the Hebrew, it's a word Yeshua. It's the name of Jesus. Now, the psalmist, when he wrote this, I don't think he knew that that was all the plan. But the one who inspired did, that ultimately, the people of God were looking forward to a deliverance, a saving. And this side of the cross, we look back at that and we know it's Jesus. Here in the psalm, tell the good news of Jesus' deliverance. Let the nations know. Don't hoard it. We see God's missionary heart. Let's be sure that the mission of God is not a little postscript on the ministry of Jesus. It is the ministry of Jesus. The very mission of God. The problem is when it's a postscript, it's like it's down in the fine print and we can so easily overlook it. But when we look at the whole of Scripture, this heart of God for the world is so clear, and some of these psalms just make it bright and brilliant. So today let's look at Psalm 96, this call to the people of God to declare to the nations the good news of God's rescue. I think there's two questions worth answering. Well, there's way more than two, but two especially from the Psalms. The first one is, what is this good news from an Old Testament perspective as fulfilled in the New? But then the second question, out of this good news, what does it tell us about God's heart? God's heart for those around us, and even God's heart for us. Okay? What is the good news? What is the good heart of God? So let's start with that first question. What is the good news? And I think verses 4 and 5 answer it. We're supposed to proclaim the salvation, declare this glory and this marvelous thing that God is doing. And then in verse 4, it says four. So four is like, because here's what it is. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Boy, there's a lot there. But let's just slow down and say, what is being said here? The first piece of this good news, and we're going to camp on three pieces. First piece of the good news is simply that there is a true God, and he reigns above all others who claim to be God. There is a true God, and he is on the throne. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise, to be feared, given awe, reverence above all gods. We miss how radical this claim was. At this time in history, there was a sense of every nation had its regional gods. Okay? So when Assyria was a big nation, they had their Assyrian gods who they claimed were superior because they were beating up on other nations, and then they got beat up on. So the gods of Babylon claimed that place of superiority. And here you have this claim by the people of God that, no, we're just a little nation, but we want you to know that our God is the true God. He is not a regional God. He is God over all. And in fact, he's on a throne, and this world is going somewhere. Even so, though right now we see so much conflict and so much mess, it's because everyone's turned away from him, but he has not abandoned the world. He remains on the throne. Here's a picture I get. It's like tuning a band, okay? The sound works because everyone, when there's the note C, all the instruments sound the same. Think of, if you've ever been to an orchestra, before they start, they tune. And it's not like one section tunes to this note and another section has another version of the note and turns to it and another section has another version of the note. No, the concert master, usually one of the violins, he has that note perfectly and he plays it, and then section by section they tune to that note. There is a note that is true. And when everything goes in and out and those instruments get put away, when they come back, they got to come back to the note that's true, because there's a song that is true, and this song is going to be played, and the note is going to continue to ring out. Excuse me, even in so many ways, like it seems there is no song anymore. The good news is that there is a true God on the throne, and he has a song for the world, and it's a good song. We're going to see more of what it is. The world is not by chance, with all the conflict, the pandemic, the inner stuff going on, relational issues, all the injustice in the world, there's still a God on the throne. And this psalm, even in telling us the good news, says, do you want to know why the world's such a mess? There's a powerful book by a guy named Frederick Buechner, and he says the gospel, the good news, is like tragedy and comedy, that there's amazing good resolution, but that comes out of tragedy, that before the gospel is good news, it has to reveal the bad news. So the first piece we've seen is that God is on the throne, but here's the bad news. The rival gods to him are just idols. That's the bad news. There is a true note, but all of us with our little instruments on this world have said, I want to play by my own note. And that's what we've done. And we've gone after other gods. Instead of making God first, we've put other gods. I'm going to run after this god or that god. And so he says here in verse 5, all the gods of the nations are idols. Every god that is not the true God, whose creator, is an idol. Why? Because the Lord made the heavens. There is only one creator. There is only one God. Everything else stems from the one God and is human made, vying for competition with God. I've told this story before, but I think it helps us kind of get it. A pastor was in Myanmar, Burma, and he saw a big idol. It happened to be a statue of Buddha. But here's this idol, and it's deteriorating on the backside, breaking down. And so there's all this scaffolding, and there's people building up the idol. Now, on the other side, there's altars, and people are coming in the midst of their poverty, bringing their offerings, asking for blessing, asking for life to start making sense from the idol that humans are trying to build up on the other side. So on one side, here's humanity building this idol. On the other side, here's the same humanity wanting that idol that humans are building to give it something. Pastor says this, the despair of it all hit me. And we're no different than them. We're broken people looking to other broken people to fix our broken lives. We are glory deficient people looking to other glory deficient people to supply us with glory. It's not going to happen. The reason the world is such a mess is that in place of the true God and serving Him and loving people with His love, we have a world in which we've elevated humanity and the things we make. And so if I can just get ahead, I just read an article this morning of how COVID-19 has turned us into I need to get mine first. And there's all these stories of I've got to hoard my camping spots. Even if I don't need 3 weeks, I'm going to get 3 weeks as soon as I can. I don't care about others. We saw it right away with the whole toilet paper thing. There's some places around vaccines where there's fighting to get those spots. I'm going to get mine first. And getting mine takes the shape of I'm going to get my image. I'm going to get my stuff. I'm going to get my control. I'm going to get my health. But in the end, it's all an illusion. I wonder if one of the reasons we in the church struggle nowadays with reaching others with the love of Christ is that we're looking around at people on the surface and it seems they're doing fine. But according to Scripture, if they don't have the true God as their North Star, as their Lord, as their Savior, what they're counting on isn't going to come through. That even in this world now, what they really want is tenuous at best. And their eternal hope is non-existent. Oh God, give us a vision of those around us who don't know You. They might be treading water right now. But where is there no foundation for them? God, may I love people enough to hear their story. And those places and questions and doubts and fears that allow You to come in. And God, in my own life, if I'm going to be honest, help me to see where I'm putting my feet on that which is not a foundation, which is not You. What is the good news? There is a God on the throne with a song that is going to go forward into eternity. It is good. The bad news that gives context to the good news is we've sung our own song and the world's a mess because of it. The third piece of the good news is God is going to bring restoration. He is going to set it all right. So we go down to verse 10. Say among the nations, not just little Israel, say among the nations of the world, the Lord does reign. And the world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And this Lord, this true God, will judge the peoples with equity. Judge the peoples with equity mean he is going to set things right. He is going to set things right. He is going to make it possible again for all instruments to hear the sound of his note and tune to him. Now, here's the situation. Even the people of Israel, for the most part, thought that means God is going to kick out all the other rulers of other nations and he's going to fix things on the outside for us. But also in the Old Testament, we find the God setting right is going to go way deeper than that. Him setting things right starts with him dealing with that issue in our heart where we said, I know my music better than you, God. Our hearts turn from God. Our hearts are desperately sick. On the inside, we're desperately sick. We don't need a national exterior salvation. We need something inside delivered. We need to be forgiven and restored to God. A good heart surgeon doesn't say, your heart's a mess. Here's a Band-Aid. He says, your heart's a mess. Let's do surgery. But only the most loving of surgeons would say, here's my heart. And give his life for us, but that indeed is what Jesus did. We stay in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all played our own music. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, this one who will come, the iniquity of us all, that God is doing a deeper work in our hearts. Then we go to the New Testament and we find out that this one who came is God himself, Jesus. Lived a perfect life in union with God the Father so that he could give his life on our behalf and we could be forgiven, restored. A biblical word is reconciled. So we get to 2 Corinthians 5 and it talks about Jesus dying. Why? All this is from God, who reconciled or restored us to himself, set things right through Christ, and gave to us now the ministry of reconciliation. Here, verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He is fulfilling Psalm 96:11, where God will come and set things right in the world. How did he do it? In Jesus, so that we can be forgiven. And as forgiven people, be part of now what he's doing in the world to extend his forgiveness and reach into those places in the world where people who've turned away from God are setting up systems that also take advantage of people and all the injustice. And now we get to come in as forgiven people to announce God's forgiveness and God's order. And there's coming a day when Jesus returns, he's going to set it all right. Restore a new heaven and a new earth. That's the good news. That in Jesus Christ, God is making right all that is wrong in our lives, in the lives of those around us who simply come to him, and in our world. Amazing good news. There's a God who reigns. It is not all random. The mess we have now is because we're running after things that are not God. God, give us a vision of those around us and the need in their heart. And then, God, help us see the beauty of what you did through Christ when you died on a cross, that things could be restored. We could be restored. So what's your heart? What's your heart? God, what's your heart? That's question two. Let me get at it with a story. A short story Ernest Hemingway wrote, don't know that he had the things of God in mind, but it certainly communicates something. It's a short story called The Capital of the World, where he talks about a father who had a son named Paco. Lived in Spain. Paco got ticked off at dad, ran off, wanted to be a matador, fight bulls, basically running off on a suicide mission. to destroy himself. And the father, out of a heart of love, did something. He put an ad in the Madrid paper. It said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you." Now, where does the story go? The next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 people named Paco, all seeking forgiveness. Hemingway knew that in the heart of humanity, something in us is longing to come home. That's the heart of God. The heart of God said, "I have sent my son Jesus, stepped out of heaven in the person of Jesus to die on a cross, that humanity can be restored, and a restored humanity can be my hands and my feet to see this world restored until I reach in when I return and make it all new. And I just now want people to come home and be part of it, to be forgiven, to recognize their need." And we see it all over Psalm 96. Again, verse 1, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, all of you in earth, come home." We see it in verse 7. "Ascribe to the Lord, you families of nations." Not just you and my little group of people, but all of you families of all nations, come home to the true God. And then verse 13, "Let all creation rejoice." The verses before talk about the sea rejoicing, the trees clapping their hands. That something when Jesus restores, even nature breaks through the decay and the disaster and is restored to as it should be. And he's saying, now let all creation, humanity, people rejoice before the Lord because he's coming to judge the earth. And rather than fear him and be afraid of him, he's just saying, surrender to my grace. That's the good news. You deserve a setting right being a punishment, but my son Jesus took on himself all of that junk and garbage and what you deserve, so that out of grace, you didn't deserve it, but you can receive and be loved and come home. Right now, God is inviting you, if you don't know, to come home, to say, "God, I've played my own tune. I've set my own note. And my life's a mess, and I look around at this world and I don't see any hope." And God is saying, "Turn to me. I died so that that mess in you can be forgiven and you can be restored. And you can know that this world is going somewhere, the story is going somewhere. And there's coming a day you'll be with me forever in a restored world. If you need to come home today, it's that prayer, Lord, I'm sorry. I've messed up. I've sinned. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for me, for rising again. I believe it's true. Please forgive me. I submit my life to you." That's God's heart for all the people of the world. But what about then his heart for those of us who have been restored, who have received him? Well, Psalm 96 is pretty clear. His heart for us is that we become bearers of the good news. That if evangelism means there's good news, we are the ones who bear it, who share it. A lot of you said that, even in the intro. How do we do it? Verse 13, "Let all creation rejoice before the Lord." The first way we do it is in our transformation, that somehow over time something is changing about us. We don't freak out like the world around us, even at the news. That we don't pretend we don't have issues, but we don't wallow in them. That we can turn to God and we can turn to the community of his people. That we're not alone in our struggles. And that he is producing things like love and hope and joy and peace and patience and all of that in our lives. And we've been saying this through the pandemic. Where might God be poking on you? I'm not saying this is easy. God's been poking on me. It was a week where I was wrestling. And even yesterday, I had to call someone and say, we need to go for a walk. And I just needed to talk about some stuff. It's robbing my joy. So where does God need to work in your life where you're just saying, God, I want to be honest. The Psalms are so honest. Where we come to God and saying, I don't get it. There's a lot I don't get, but they don't end there. But I look up and I'm not alone and you're at work in me and you're with me. And where do you need to lean into God and his people so that he's changing you? So we bear his good news as we let him change us. Secondly, we bear his good news as we get involved in his rescue. He is coming to judge the world. He wants to establish a world of justice and mercy. And one of the ways we bear the good news as his people is say, God, where in this messed up world do you want me to share? Where do you want me to share? It might be homelessness. It might be addiction. It might be in your community league where there's just some really practical needs. It might be the protecting the lives of the unborn. It might be so many ways. But for all of us too, it's looking around at that person who lives next to us, who works next to us, and saying, God, give me a vision not only of where their need is, but what could it look like to see them come home and restored? I think sometimes we lose that vision of these people we're praying for. Can we see them, hands raised in worship, talking themselves about what God's up to in their lives and what Jesus has done? God, give us that vision. So we just say, God, where do you want me involved? At home or on the world? But the last piece, God changing us, involvement, intentional. Third piece is we have to talk. There's conversation. Again, verses 2 and 3, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation. Just gospel conversations. And I'm going to be honest. We have this missional multiplication team. We're kind of talking to people about what's going on. As you have relationships with people who don't know Jesus, more and more it comes down to everything's great, but I just don't know how to talk. So let's just be honest about it and say, okay, we need help. Well, first of all, yet not I, but Christ in me. So let's trust God to never put us in situations where he won't give us words, okay? I heard a story this week on a call with our denomination. A guy, he and his wife, walk in their neighborhood, just simply pray to prayer, God, put us in a situation where we represent you. And situations started happening and questions started to come that they went, whoa. But they had words. The second thing, even as our team, you know, we're talking about what are some ways we can provide opportunities to talk about this stuff. Talk about it with one another, maybe get some training, and look toward that as we move into our next ministry year. But start now by saying, God, just would you put me in situations where I can represent you? See what he does? Trust him. Evangelism. Sharing the good news. Reaching out. Many of you said that, but also words like fear, pressure. Rather than seeing that which would hold us back. I hope our little foray into Psalm 96 helps us see the bigger vision. That God is a God on mission. Mission is not a postscript to the ministry of Jesus. It is the ministry of Jesus. This good news that a God who made us and is on the throne, even though we ran away to other gods, sent his son to die on a cross so we can be restored. His heart is that all people come home. And he invites us to be part of the homecoming by saying, God, how would you have me live for you? What do you want to do in my life that I represent you? Who intentionally can I see and pray for? And how can I get involved? Maybe today, some of you are going, you know what? this needs to be more than a side thing. This needs to be where I invest my energy. Some kind of local or global occupation. Maybe God's tapping on you right now. And then just trusting God to enter into relationships, not pressure, prayerful, knowing that He's in us. See what questions arise, see where the conversation goes, and trust Him. So as we enter this summer, and it's going to be different, we really can't get together like we used to. We can virtually, we can outside. What might it look like for you to be part of God's mission? Telling others there's a home in Christ, a God on the throne who wants to restore them and everything around them. Whose face do you see? What issue is God calling you to be involved in? To be part of the mission of God in the world. Let's pray. God, thank you for what you're up to. Father, help us not just see this as the fine print in Scripture, but it is such an overarching theme that you are God on a mission of restoring humanity to yourself, restoring the mess humanity has made, calling us to be part of it, calling us to yourself. God, right now, there may be someone saying, I need to come home. And right now, the prayer is, Lord, forgive me, restore me. I give my life to you. I believe this is all true. Father, there may be those of us, we've prayed that prayer, but we got one foot at home, another outside, and we just need to say today, God, again, I'm in. I'm in. And being in, I'm in on your mission. Not overwhelmed, not guilt, but owning the fear. And just saying, God, help me put your face on it. Help me put your face on it. The face or faces you give me, the issue or issues that burn in my heart. That for the sake of this world, you burn brighter inside me. It becomes more of my lifestyle just to extend your love beyond my comfort zones. Yet not I, but Christ through me, for the sake of the world, living for you.